We'll have this discussion.
Discussion? What discussion?
This is a discussion.
Combustion.
Coming to you from Denver, Colorado, this is Discussion Combustion Podcast with your hosts, Kevin Batstone and Arthur Raw.
Man, you know we're having a fantastic night here in Discussion Combustion Studios, DTC. We have an amazing friend and compadre back, and that is Craig Christofferson.
Hello, viewers. I'm Craig Christofferson. I think this is my fifth time.
I mean, if you count 100, it might be your sixth.
I am counting 100. I think this is my fifth.
Okay, it's his fifth time. Five alive, baby.
Craig is a staple to the program. And not only that, but Craig, I love you so much, man. You're a staple to who I am as an individual. You're one of the best friends that I've ever had.
Well, I love you. And if I'm a staple, that means I'm stapling your nipples to the wall.
Because you want my backside exposed?
I don't know where that came from, but he seemed very confused.
Before this gets too far off the rails, I'm going to tell you this. No Shave November's over. I want the beard gone. I'm done with it, guys. It's pissing me off. It's driving me nuts, Craig.
Well, you look a little disheveled.
Yes. It's been quite a month.
I would still do you.
Would you? What's the over-under?
Well, after this beard, this is going to be very high.
Oh, man. No, but I had to clean it up. I had to clean it up today. Over the last 4 days, I actually let the neck hair grow in beyond my uncomfortable point. Because, you know, you get that point with the beard and everything where it's like, oh, it's poking here.
Yes.
Does your top lip ever get really irritated from the mustache hair?
Yes.
Where it gets chapped?
Not about chapped, but just irritated. And then it pokes into my nose when I wake up in the morning. And that's just not starting the day off right.
I get more bothered by the residue of food in my mustache when it's long opposed to anything else.
Yeah, that's the biggest complaint I've heard from, you know, females specifically that don't like beards. They're like, because they stink. And I could see why. You know, I mean, if you're eating oysters on the half shell and you got that oyster juice leaking in there, that shit ain't going to smell good a couple hours later.
No, I mean, come on, gentlemen. If you're out there having that delicious dinner, that double D, and you know you need a wash, your hands after you eat dinner, just go ahead and give the beer a courtesy wash as well. Like, you know, you want smoochies later or whatever it is.
Smoochie doochies.
Sometimes you got to do it. You know, you're sitting in the public restroom just splashing that water into your beard aggressively, just getting that shit out of there because you're about to do a smooch.
You got to comb it down, though, once you're done. You know, a little beard. Do you have a beard brush?
Of course I do. I have several.
It's funny that you brought up oysters because I feel like from my memory, when my mustache is long, too long, and I need to trim it, it's always the seafood residue that bothers me the most, where I'm like, oh, no.
Speak from experience, Craig, on things that smell in your mustache.
This episode's off the rails already.
I mean, no, you're sitting there. You had eaten like 6 hours ago, and you're like, I can smell this food. And then you know that it's time.
Seafood has a potent smell.
The worst is if you're eating something that you cook with fish sauce. Right? Like an Asian dish. Like I cook with fish sauce every once in a while. Sauce. S-A-U-C-E. Am I pronouncing that right?
Sauce.
Sauce.
Why are you so aggressive right now?
I love fish sauce.
Why are you saying sauce just, so aggressive?
The way it came off of my tongue, it just sounded so like I couldn't pronounce it right. Fish sauce.
That's at New Orleans coming out.
Bud Light's got my tongue swirled.
Bud Light. This episode's brought to you by Anheuser-Busch. Appreciate your support.
Yeah, we'd like a free case every single week, please, so then we can easily entertain all of our guests with your delicious beverage. Bud Light.
Cheers, gentlemen.
Cheers.
Cheers, guys. No, it's so good having you back in, Craig. Obviously, we love you to death as a brother, and you also have a great energy, though. I'm going to go a little bit professional here because we have worked together. You're one of the best leaders I've ever worked alongside with, and there's a reason why. It's because you don't just tell people what to do. You show people how to do it, man.
I think that's one-on-one. Now you got me talking about something that I'm actually very passionate about, so we'll direct it to a little bit different energy here. I will never tell somebody to do something if I'm not willing to do it myself. I think you find a lot of people that like to delegate, like to coach behind the curtain or behind the glass, right? I'm not that kind of person. If you want someone to reach their full potential, you need to show them what your potential is, because energy feeds energy, right? Fire catches fire. And I'm a firm believer in that. If you want to reach new heights within a company, if that's, you know, driving revenue, margin, whatever it is, and you want someone bought in, a lot of times that doesn't come with just the money aspect of the job, right? That comes with, do they believe in the leader? Mm-hmm. Do they believe in the direction of the company? And they won't ever pick that up from just being there. They pick that up from being shown. They picked it up from, I'm going to do this, and this is why we're doing it. If we apply this strategy, this is the kind of results we're going to get. And I think that's what Arthur is kind of, you know, hinting to, is that I'm that kind of leader that I will tell you to do something, not because I'm telling you that I need that done, because it's the way to do it. It's because I have proven to myself and the rest of my team that if you do X, Y, and Z, it will render these kind of results. I only talk about stuff that's proven. I won't make up something for you to go experiment with for you fail, even though I do believe failure is a huge part of success.
Yes.
And if you fail, I'm going to fail with you, bottom line. But I will never hold your hand to the finish line. I will show you where the finish line's at and tell you exactly how we get there, but I'm going to be running the marathon with you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like, you know, a good coaching perspective. That's kind of what you want out of a leader, as a coach, a friend, somebody that doesn't feel like they're judging you. They're like, hey, man, I'm here to help. You know, we're all in this together. And repetition is the mother of skill. The more we do something, the more we learn what works, what doesn't work, right? And like you said, you got to fail before you can succeed. And I feel we've all experienced that in some form or fashion or another in life. You know how many things I've fucked up along the way, and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do that this time. And the results are vastly different. So I think it's a combination of having a good team, having a good leader, having people that are willing to be coached, and being, you know, coach worthy, so to speak. We can't just throw anybody into the ring. Some people just aren't cut out for it at the end of the day.
Yeah, if you're not willing to hold yourself accountable and hold yourself responsible for your own circumstances, then it's weak, all right? And if you don't want to be weak, then you have to start dealing with the tough. Because that's what this life is, man. Like, since life has existed on this planet, it's been existence has been trying to kill it. Like, life is, ever since, I mean, how many babies are like, you know, they die young or like all this other stuff. Like, you know, it's not an easy journey. And if you want to be rock hard and solidified and counted upon, then motherfucker, you best climb the mountain.
Talk about the opposite of rock hard, and also piggybacking off the baby statement. Ever since I became a father over 18 months ago, is like anytime I see something that's detrimental to a young child's health or struggle of a baby, a toddler, mm-hmm. man, I don't know if I got this loose tear duct syndrome kicking back in again, but I can't
loose
help but
tear duct syndrome.
I can't help but cry. I'm such a softy when it comes to kids now, man. Mm-hmm. And it's ever since I became a father. But I always question things like, why would something so, you know, serious and, you know, life threatening happen to a child that's so innocent? It really just pulls at my heartstrings, man.
Yeah, I mean, look at like St. Jude's and some of the work that those guys do, of course. It's like Jamie says, no kid deserves to go through any of that. You know, unfortunately, some people are dealt a bad hand, you know, and it is. It's definitely heartbreaking to see kids go through, you know, childhood cancer and deformities and all those kind of things. You know, it's not good. It's not good. But a lot of it's out of our control, of course. You know, we roll the dice when you do reproduction, and, you know, some folks decide to take a different path and find out that maybe this is, you know, not going to be the best life for the child, and there's things of that nature out there available. But I agree. You know, when things are just unexpected, like childhood leukemia and stuff like that, it's terrible. It's terrible. What can you do?
What, you know, I don't want to get in the whole you know, religious conversation on the podcast this evening, but it makes me question, why is that? Why would
I was thinking the same thing, Craig.
Why would that ever happen? And I think about this stuff while I'm crying and seeing these stuff on posted on social, you know, platforms. Like, you see a kid that's, you know, noticeably can't be over 2 years old, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, got a, you know, shaven head and a feeder into his nose or her nose. And, oh, just, it just tears me apart. It's like, why is this child being dealt this hand? I just never understand those kind of things.
Mm. I guess a good way to segue this is, if you have your health and you live past 25 even, I mean, you look back 2,000 years ago where like 30, 35 was the average lifespan. And I'm 35 now. Like I should, based upon that, like I would be close to death right now.
You should have been dead already.
I probably should have with the amount of fucking poison I put into my blood system.
Me too.
You know? And so for that, we have to be thankful. You know, it's good to be aware that there's all these struggles out there and that people are born a lot less fortunate than ourselves. And it's good to feel for that and have empathy for that circumstance and for that family. But through that, you can also recognize your own strength and how you're rigid and an overcomer. Like, it's a tough world. It's a tough planet. I mean, it was born out of molten, you know? So, like, we are also we're all born of what this earth is made of. Everything that physically makes us up, physically, was of this planet. So we are one with it. And with that in mind, like, just keep your warrior alive. And if you're doubting yourself, then why? Why are you not able? Are you taking risks? Like, take a risk today. That's something big that I guess I want to say is take a risk today. Like whatever you've been pushing off because you think like it makes you nervous, fucking go for it.
Without getting into too much detail, so I took a risk recently, left the position that I was at for over 4 years and put myself out there. When I did this risk, I didn't know what the outcome would be, right? It was very unnerving to leave something that you're very comfortable in, that you've made great connections in, friends, some would call it family. I got love for everybody at my previous job, but I made a risk and bet on myself. And then after 48 hours, by just putting myself out there and taking the risk, I had 5 offers on the table. I'm not going to go into the details of offers, but just going to show you. Believe in yourself, believe about who you are, what you have to offer to the world, a company, whoever you're trying to offer something to, your value, right? And I promise you, if you're doing it for the right reasons, you're going to have positive results. And I think that's what you're kind of, you know, circling around here, is that everybody in this room understands that. And it's very positive to go live your best life. Because no one's promised tomorrow. You should have been dead at 35. I should have been dead at 35. You know, back the lifespan back in the day was 35.
Probably at 28, I probably should have been dead with the amount of yada yada in the system blada, you know, and that's life's a test.
Go and attack your best life is very sound advice that you can give to anybody, even people that are going through struggles, deep in depression, that maybe not that do not see the value in their life. That is great advice to give to anyone. Attack your best life.
And actually, that spurs a question for me, is like, when's the last time, for all the listeners, when's the last time you actually asked yourself, what is my best life? What is my best capability? What am I capable of achieving? Or are you thinking, this is happening to me? I have this circumstance that I have to deal with. And, you know, I got this on my plate. Switch up that mentality. Stop thinking about what you have to deal with, what you have to work with. Start thinking about what can you accomplish? How can you start knocking that off? So, I mean, I'll get real on here a little bit. I'm almost 24 months off opiates, and what I've accomplished in that amount of time means the world to me. And I can't even believe it. Like, I feel like I'm a walking anomaly right now. Like, I feel so blessed, but I'm still paying back old taxes that I didn't pay. I'm still catching up on those debts. Like, everything has a price, you know, and you have to pay the cost, whether if it's positive or negative, man.
Well, I mean, every action has an equal or opposite reaction, and we kind of, you make your bed, you got to lay in it. We've all done some dumb shit throughout our lives, whether that's bad financial decisions, drugs, what have you, alcoholism. We're all going to be battling with something. The devil catches all of us one way or the other. The dark arts are lingering.
Oh, my gosh.
But what I'm tired of is excuses. And I hear a lot of excuses in this day and age, and people making excuses as to why. Oh, well, I'm just complacent. You know, this works for me. That's great. Are you happy? No. Well, why is that? What can you do to change that? Well, right now is just not the right time for me to quit smoking. Right now is just not the right time for me to get that new job. Right now is just, you know, it's always excuses and excuses. And I'm guilty of it, too. I've made excuses.
Yeah, we all but are.
Every one of us in this room has made a life-changing decision in the last year. You know,
it's true.
Career changes, leaving relationships, what have you. We've all done it. Anybody's capable of doing it, right? When you really evaluate your life and you figure out what is important, what do I want, you got to go for it. It's not going to be handed to you. None of us were handed any of this. We've all had to work our way up through the ranks. Hard work pays off. I think we've lost a little bit of that. I've, you know, touched on a little bit just with work ethic and things of that nature. But what's the ultimate goal in this life? Happiness. How are we going to obtain it? Here's our roadmap. Let's alienate the things that don't make us happy. And this isn't going to be a perfect life. Who's kidding? Who? Nothing's perfect. Right? I'm still going to flip out on the guy that was trying to turn left in the straight lane earlier. You know, that's going to happen. That's realistic shit. But what can we control daily? You know, that's something you talk about a lot, Craig. How can we start to stay upright? And what can we do to steer the ship in the right direction to get to tomorrow?
So something I have learned about starting your day off right, and I talked to Arthur about this recently, is the 5-5-5-30 rule. And I might say it wrong, but because I looked over it quickly and I haven't applied it too much to my own personal life. I know you tried it once or twice as well, mm-hmm. and maybe have failed. But the first step is admitting that you failed and can try
we
to do better.
We all must
right?
fail.
We all must fail, right?
Yes.
But the 5-5-5-30 rule, as soon as you wake up before touching your phone, going to the pisser, whatever it may be, the first thing you're supposed to do as you roll out of bed is 5 push-ups, 5 squats, 5 lunges, a 30-second plank. From that, I understand through reading, it's not proven to be true, and I don't believe everything I read, but it makes sense to me, is that it wires your brain for success that day.
Well, I think, you know, everybody's going to have something that works for them, right? And I think that the more information you have out there and the more opportunities to do things, because I know I've heard things like, you know, drink water when you first wake up because it wakes your organs up, which you probably want to hydrate after doing those exercises, of course. You're going to want to get a little water. You know, whatever the ritual may be, but I would agree, not touching your cell phone is a great way to not start the day. Mine's on do not disturb until I start the day. You know, we talked about this earlier. I like using a bedside clock so I don't get those temptations from the cell phone. Just little things like that. I feel like, you know, because we're conditioned now, and I'm guilty of it too. I'll lay there in bed and just start scrolling shit, checking notifications and all that nonsense. And then it's just like, I'm not motivated. You know, it's demoralizing a little bit, and it kind of brings your morale down.
It's too true, man. It is too true. And, you know, as much as I do believe in science and I believe in parts of that, I trust my intuition above all, above everything. That is my reality. And if I truly believe that something is beneficial for me, then it is. And even pills were for a long time. I mean, I sold a shit ton of stuff, was excellent in my field of sales while I was convincing myself that opiates made me a better salesperson. Well, and I convinced myself of that. And then it caught up, right?
So, yes. So everything can be justified true to oneself.
Exactly. But what is actually true will reign supreme and stay consistent to whereas the fallacies will end up cracking and exposing themselves. So that's how I feel about life in general is like, you know, it's good to have all of these different ideas and, you know, science to follow and stuff. But when you're actually believing in yourself, like you see your like if you're waking up doing 10 push-ups and doing these things and you feel like it's helping, then guess what? It is helping. You know, you chug that water, it is going to help. So perception is truly reality to the highest extent, even if you're psychopathic or whatever, like that tweaked realm of reality that you're living in is real for that person. So it's interesting, like with how the mind plays into how we interact with our daily opportunities and how are we going to capitalize those based upon our own personal beliefs. Mm. And it's a big field full of weeds. Like you got to find your own path, like fuck walking somebody else's path. Like I'm sick of that. I'm sick of this complacent, comfortable lifestyle that I'm not being challenged. Like I want to go after things that I'm questioning if I could even obtain that or not. Like that's where life is at, where you're like, can I do this even? And then you do it and then it feels so good, or you fail and then you're like, all right, now I know how to do it next time.
But that's where the reward's at. That is where the reward is at. When you obtain the things that you didn't think that you could achieve, that's the true award. makes me circle back to what you were saying is that we have a multiple people just finding excuses daily, right? And that they need to search for their own sense of happiness. But everyone's sense of happiness is completely different.
True.
Everyone's got a different
formula. Yeah, like what makes you happy?
Everyone's got a different outlook. I think that's where, honestly, where people are failing.
Mm.
They don't know what actually makes them happy. So just get to the root of the problem.
That's a good point.
Figure out what's actually going to make you happy. It doesn't need to be money. It doesn't need to be a nice house. It doesn't need to be material at all.
Yes.
But just figure out what that is, and that's what you should work towards. You shouldn't be afraid of working towards something that, you know, is your own basis of happiness.
Yeah. Couldn't be better said, Craig, honestly, because when you break it down, everybody's happiness is going to be different. And I think a lot of people are confused on what could make them happy, right? We've touched on this a couple times in this program. Social media hasn't helped with that because people get envious and jealous of maybe their siblings, friends, old classmates, what have you. Oh, well, they're my age and they've already got kids in the house and I don't. That doesn't mean that you're not a happy person. Doesn't mean that your path isn't the same as that person, right? Everybody is here to do different things. And I believe everyone has a purpose here, right? And what you want to choose to maximize that purpose with is up to you. You know, if you want to live on a cul-de-sac and have some kids and put the sprinkles on the cookies, that's all well and good. That's not for me. But if that's what you want to do and that's your definition of happiness and you can truly wake up and say, I love my life, God bless you. Not for me. You know, and that's where I think it's good to bring that up, because I think a lot of folks get caught up in, well, I'm not living that life, so I'm not good enough. I'm not doing enough. And it's like, no, take that energy and put it somewhere else. Go make something of yourself. Go be a day trader. You know, go start your own business. Do whatever you need to do. Put that energy somewhere, you know, instead of comparing yourself and trying to compete, you know, to impress friends, family members, things of that nature. That's nonsense.
My happiness stems from laughter. I think that's probably why I'm on this show for the fifth time, is when I'm around my buddies. We have a great, great camaraderie, and it leads to hysteria, and we laugh, and we have a great time.
That's true.
Also why I've been on this show before, talking about how I wanted to become like a, you know, amateur like stand-up comedian and take classes.
How you will.
How I will, that's yes. Right. Say it into existence, right? All that is my major thing that I seek daily. It's just some sense of laughter.
That's
if
good.
It's 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, whatever it is, I have to fulfill myself with some laughter daily.
Yeah, well, and realistic expectations is we're not going to be happy all the time.
Mm-mm.
You know, and life is going to continually test us. So it takes work and effort to actually find what are you grateful for today. Have you asked yourself that question today? What am I grateful for today? And if, God damn it, if you can't come up with a list of three things that you're grateful for, then you need to think harder, because it takes work to have sustained happiness.
Mm.
Like, life is going to keep throwing, you know, physical ailments, family members having issues, depression, war in the world, bigotry, hate. All this shit is getting thrown at us constantly, and it's so easy to get wrapped up in that. And there's so much hate and ugly in this world that it's like, that's easy to focus on. So if you are really trying to have a happy existence, an internal peace within yourself while you have the pleasure of walking this rock, then you need to work on that every single day, man. That's how I truly feel about it. Like, this is not happening. It's taken. I take my happiness out of the day, and no one has the authority to tell me to leave it. I'm going to take that shit every day. That's how I feel.
So I'm going to put you on blast. What's the three things you're thankful for today?
Okay, so three things I'm thankful for today. I'm going to think harder, not the podcast, not hanging out with my buddies again, but actually on my job, I feel very thankful that we were able to stir the pot a little bit and really make some impacts for the company that I work for today. And really help out that end of month close, that push. So I'm thankful for that. I'm really thankful for the cream that I was able to put in my coffee today. And honestly, just having a fridge, like the essentials, like, you know, waking up where I get to wake up, like I'm thankful for that every day. My dad, he's going through some cancer treatment, and I was picking him up and from those appointments on Tuesdays and stuff. Well, this was yesterday, but I'm thinking about it today, so I'm grateful for it today. You know, he's been doing that for himself and calling me, hey, I got home safe. I'm grateful for that. And also, I'm also grateful for potential love, you know. I'll say it that simple.
So that's the fourth.
I mean, I got a lot of
things. A little extra on the, on the icing, huh?
I could go down the list, but it's only because I've actively, for over a decade, tried to notice things that actually bring happiness and value into my life. My mind has been programmed to be aware of the good in my life. And it takes time and effort is all I'm saying. How about you, Craig?
Well, my daughter started soccer today, and I was shown pictures of her at her first little practice, like powwow, getting to meet her coach and her team and getting her jersey on. And the pictures were so precious, and I just know for a fact that she loves the fact that she gets to chase bubbles and run and dance through obstacle courses while she's finding her balance and agilities. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the fact that I have multiple opportunities on the horizon career-wise because of the hard work that I put in through the past, and I manifested that myself, where that will not just cut me paychecks, but it's able for me to provide for my family and give them a life. That's what I'm truly grateful for. And the other one is my health. I suffered a heart attack when I was 25 years old. I let some of these beasts get the best of me, but yet I'm still ticking. I'm still alive. I'm still healthy. I still get to laugh, put a smile on my face, and everyone knows what my happiness is because I just said it, is laughter. I'm still able to laugh. I'm still able to communicate. I'm still able to talk. I'm still able to breathe. I'm still able to be here with some of my two best friends. I'm just glad to be alive.
It's fantastic. Kev, you know you got to tell us too, man.
Good stuff. No, for sure. I mean, I'll start out. You guys know how big I am on friends and family. I carry a tattoo that says Beyond Blood. Got news today that my mother's going to be coming home from rehab tomorrow.
Yes.
Incredible journey. One of the strongest women I've ever known.
Vicky is a warrior.
Complete warrior. So I'm grateful to have great parents that showed me love and taught me how to be a hard worker and not bitch, moan, and complain. And they lead by example. You know, tough individuals for sure. So very, very grateful and fortunate to have great parents, of course. Music comes up next to me. I'm grateful for that. I had a very stressful day today. And one of my favorite parts of the day was driving to the studio listening to some music, you know, just to try to unwind a little bit. And music is incredible. I mean, it's been a passion of mine since I was a kid. I wanted to be a musician and a meteorologist, but now I'm a podcaster, so not far off. But music is incredible, and I'm thankful for that, man. It's just something I can relate to, something I can wind with. You know, it's like art a little bit. And then I think outside of that, I'm thankful that I can, you know, have the financial freedom to do what I want to do, be able to go home to my own place, be able to have my fish tank and just, you know, the things I like to do, be able to go socialize, go travel and do some of that stuff. You know, could always be worse. So I feel like I'm in a pretty good place.
So what was the playlist driving in today?
So I was listening to, shout out to our buddy Clint Gershenson, solid lad.
Love you, Clint.
Got me into Zach Bryan. Matter of fact, kind of learned about, I mean, I knew Zach a little bit, but we were hanging out last Saturday at Friendsgiving, which was a fantastic event with all the boys, and heard him come on, and I'm like, damn, I kind of dig this guy, you know? And so I've been listening to a lot of his music and just really enjoying it.
I kind of remember listening to that with you as well.
Yeah,
and I was like, this guy's got a good voice.
He's incredible.
It's in my list now. I liked a couple of those songs. You gotta have a good plethora of music, like a good variety of music, like, you know, like, because that way when you're chilling, look, it's going to scratch everybody's itch. Sure, it only lasted a moment, but at least you had that one song that was in there. And for all the listeners out there, just because we're on this right now, I know you can think of three things that you're grateful for today, you know, even if it's just breathing on this planet. And I have to say it. All right, I have to say this. Suicide's a really tough subject to talk about. However, just keep struggling with us. You know, life is not meant to be easy. You know, I got to give a shout out to Jacqueline Rose and music. It's
99 Hearts.
99 Hearts and Music to Prevent Suicide. And
the Rose Show, yeah.
If anyone's dealing with that, just remember we're all struggling, man. Even if we might be able to think of things I'm grateful for a little bit easier, like, it's still a struggle. And through hell, through brimstone, that's the, you know, through the hardest of pressure is where diamonds are formed. So if you're going through that, just know that you got that diamond in the future of yourself, man. Like, I don't know. I feel like that was important to say.
Since we're kind of talking about music and depression and respecting your life and seeing it through, I love deathcore, metalcore, heavy metal, alternative rock, whatever has some gin in it. I love that kind of music.
Oh, I do too.
I always have my whole entire life, but I feel like it gets a bad rap. And it's because people don't understand it. They can't understand the words if they're not singing clean, right? If they're screaming or it's too much distortion. I can tell you right now that music's more therapeutic to me than any other genre because it's a release. And I know other metalheads and other people that like that scene can relate to what I'm saying. You get in a mosh pit or you go to a live show, it's not because you're trying to hurt people. You're trying to have your own release. And people don't understand that music. They call it violent music. They call it evil music or devil music. And I'm here to tell you the exact opposite. That music saves lives. And if you like that kind of music, good for you. If you've never listened to that kind of music or never been to a live show, I challenge you to give it a chance.
Yeah.
You might not like the way it sounds on audio, just hearing it in your headphones. But if you go to that music and see it in a live show, that scene in a live show, it might be one of the best shows you've ever seen.
Well, you can really feel the energy, you know, rather than just listening to it on your buddy's car system or someone's house, for sure. I mean, and I agree with you there, man. I love, if I'm angry, it's going to be some heavy metal. And usually my go-to is Kill 'Em All, Metallica. I mean,
the first ever.
One of the greatest records of all time. You know, put that shit, Seek and Destroy, Jump in the Fire, No Remorse, Whiplash. I mean, just, if you're really like, I'm pissed off today, put that shit on. It'll help.
So I have to ask Arthur how he feels about it, because I know I've turned Arthur onto some bands recently. I know he doesn't have them in his normal playlist rotation, but after the concert, he was like, dude, that was an incredible show. So I'll let you speak on that a little bit more, because I bet you can, you know, highlight a couple of things that I was just talking about.
Oh, I mean, so much to say there. I've been to rap concerts. I've been to rock and roll concerts, country, you know, all the different types of music. And something about the punk or, you know, like Star Set. Is that punk? Like
Star Set would be called more alternative rock, hard rock.
The energy there, though, like it's odd because it's like this really hard music, like this intense guitars and intense double bass, like it's heavy, but everybody there is all love. Like I've never gotten into any beef or felt any squalors while I was at one of those shows. However, hip-hop shows like that's not my jam, even though I'm a rapper. And then also the country folks.
I was going
to
say.
Dude, the country folk get down at those concerts, bro. Like, you best be prepared to, like, dodge a fist.
Yes.
Like, at a country 100%. Show. Like, they get a little wily up in there. And all them boys kick dust and shit. So, you know, the thing is, though, is, like, that rock and roll music, what you're talking about specifically, Craig, God, like, throwing up the fucking horns and jamming to that. There's some, like, even though it's not in my playlist, that's one of my favorite live music to see.
I agree. Love there's a energy wave within that venue when you go see a live show that is more like hard rock, heavy metal than you experience at any live concert. And that's why I love it. That's a live show for heavy metal or alternative rock or deathcore or grindcore, whatever you want. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it.
Live music in general, I feel like, even if it's a genre you're not real fond of. I mean, I brought so many guys to bluegrass shows, country shows that weren't big fans of that genre, and they still had a blast. You know, we're drinking beers, maybe puffing a little bit of the Bob Dylan, you know, getting in the zone.
I can also say the same thing about jazz. Well, now, that might be a little bit home bias for me.
Jazz is a totally different vibe.
I mean, jazz is a freestyle through the saxophone.
But it's just such a vibe. You feel the energy the whole time.
Jazz is great.
Jazz, you could be eating, you know, crumpets and tea, you know, stage side. Next thing you know, you're dancing. Like, I can't stop dancing. Crumpets
and tea. I was hoping you were going to say boiled peanuts.
I love boiled peanuts.
I do, too.
Only if they spicy.
Give me that Cajun boiled peanut, baby. Mm. No, but that's one thing we all agree. Music is incredible. It's a soundtrack to life. And it's so fun to go to different genres. I think that's another thing I challenge people to do is don't just stick to, you know, whatever you're into. That's fine. Whether you're an EDM guy, I've been to EDM shows, had a blast. I've been to hard rock. I've been to country. I've been to rap. You know, I've seen the jam bands. I've seen folk. I've seen it all. And it's all – there's a takeaway from every bit of it, for sure. That's
true. It's good being, you know, well-versed or well-rounded in music. You know, for instance, Spotify's yearly roundup came out today, right? And that was the one thing one thing they said about my playlist, like, oh, you're very diverse. There's not one genre that you stuck with more than other genres. They're like, you had five that were very equal to all the other four. So I was like, oh, okay. So it just goes to show, like, I'm not just stuck on heavy metal. I'm not just stuck on rap. I'm not just stuck on EDM or country. I listen to it all.
Yeah.
Because there's something to take away from anybody putting their heart on a microphone or behind a drum kit or guitar or keys, whatever it is. I mean, that is true artistry exposed, and I love that kind of stuff.
I do too, man. And we're all musicians. Everyone in this room has played on stage before, so we can all agree that that's electrifying as well, to be able to create that music for people to move to. It's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, this is an important episode, and we're going to keep this one a little short and sweet tonight, but there's some foundation conversation here, and that is that, you know, it's you have to work hard to sustain happiness. Like, you can be happy and lose it. Like, you have to continue to work hard on that. You can generalize anything you want, but until you actually experience it, you don't know what it's actually like. Like, you have to put your feet in other people's shoes, and you have to, like, try to live life a little bit, it's not going to be easy, you know, whether if it's, like, breaking into a new music that might make you feel uncomfortable. Like, look, I don't like a lot of country songs, but the ones I do like, they make me fucking chipper. I'm smiling.
Chipper.
Yeah, I'm having a great time listening to this stuff. I forget the artist, but it's Getting Down on the Farm. And
Tim McGraw.
Yeah, Tim McGraw. I love that song.
That's a Louisiana boy, right?
I love that song, man. And it just makes me smile. Or, like, Convoy and shit. And, like, even though I was, like, hip-hop roots, like, there's all this other great music out there, and there's all these opportunities out there, but it's not going to just fall on your lap. Ain't nothing ever fall on anyone's lap other than some dust, and that's just dead skin flakes. So, like, let's fucking make some movements. Let's make it happen. This is the week. This is the day.
Yeah, enough excuse making. I think enough's enough with that. The complacency, it's easier to complain. You know, it's easier to complain than it is to take action, right? How many times have I said it? People do more to avoid pain than they will to gain pleasure, and I will continue to say it. Thanks, Coach Corey Wayne, for teaching me that. But it's so true when you apply it to life. It's easier to complain than it is to make change in your life. You know, I'll just bitch, moan, and complain about this, about my boss, about my, you know, the hours they're making me work, the workload I have to deal with, this neighbor, whatever. I mean, we can complain. I'm guilty of it.
I mean, how often do we or the listeners or anyone out there hold on to the insignificant for way too long?
Probably
that
all
it becomes an anchor.
Yeah.
And that insignificant, unpositive, insignificant things can slow down a positive projection, right?
It's true.
And that's something I have challenged myself with. It's like, why am I even dwelling on something so minuscule that carries no weight into my life? And I think so many people are guilty of that.
Oh, yeah.
And if you just switch up your mindset, flip the switch a little bit and say, let's just dust that off. Like, cowboy boots are off the shoulder, right? Just dust it off, right? Your life's going to be so much better. Dwell in the positive. Stop sinking yourself with the negative. It's more heavy when the negative is outweighing your positive.
It's true. And we're all guilty of it. You know, I think more than anything, it's just like anything we talk about, being aware of it. You know, when you can catch your mind going, man, I'm being ridiculous right now. Is this really worth me getting upset over? Is this going to matter in 7 days? You know, things like that. Being aware, being in the moment, you know, I think is something I learned throughout, you know, my anger management and my therapy and, progressing through life. Is this going to matter when I sit down in this chair next Wednesday? You know, and that's the biggest thing. And it's not, I'm not saying it's going to be easy for everyone. We're going to get pissed off. I'm going to lose my mind on the guy that's trying to turn left when he's trying to go straight. You know, road rage has always been something I'm going to have to work with. But being aware. That's the biggest thing I learned in therapy is being in the moment, being aware of your situation. How can I be proactive instead of reactive? And that's something that Art's also done a good job at coaching me on.
You know, my therapist, she always says, your thoughts are valid. The way you feel is valid, right? But there's certain things I wouldn't say outweigh others because everything's valid. You just need to understand and focus on what you can push off your plate and keep on your plate. Like, if it's all valid and it all pertains to how your life outcome is, you can make that more positive. You don't have to keep dwelling in the negative. You don't have to share equal parts negative to equal parts positive. Mm. Put that whole plate full of positive. We call it positive plate. Mm. And feast up.
Feast up.
Feast up, baby. And you know what? Sometimes you got to make room. Sometimes there isn't space. Sometimes you got to shoehorn the shit. All right? Like, ain't nobody going to create an opportunity for you but yourself. Like, if you can't sit here and actually genuinely count three things that you're grateful for, even if it's just the fact that you can walk or the fact that you're breathing, like, whatever it is, dig deep. Now is the time. Today is the day. This is the time that we have on this planet. This is temporary. Nothing lasts forever. That's why it means so much. So my challenge this week is stop being a complacent person. And I've been there too. I've been complacent this week too. I spent way too much time on social media this week and it hasn't been treating me well mentally. And I'm being complacent there. So be honest with yourself. Be accountable to yourself and be responsible for your actions. That's all we got. We got today. Today is December 1st. It's 1 month before the year ends. 2023 is almost here, and it's your time to shine.
Time to flip the calendar. It's coming up quick, Craig. 2022 went by really fast.
It went by really fast, but it taught me a lot of things, just That's like good. Every year does. Every month does. Every day does. Every friendship does.
And the day we stop learning is the day we start dying.
Absolutely.
Let's keep this train moving.
Absolutely. Guys, thanks for having me on again.
Thanks for being here, Craig, on short notice.
We love you, man. We love you, man.
You know, it's we have cancellations. This business is wild, you know, on the entertainment side. People don't show up. Craig, you're always consistent. We know we can always count on you. That's our brother. That's that Beyond Blood. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to personally thank you for all of the support that you've shown this podcast over the years. Means a lot. Really does. You know, we do it because we love it, but we also do it because we love interacting with you. Your support means so much to us. And if you haven't checked out Happy Friday yet, be sure to do so tomorrow, December 2nd. We have an episode coming out with our co-host, Jonathan Ekstrom. It's a lot of fun, great program, kind of Denver-focused, but you can kind of watch us goof off and just a different show, just a different flow. We don't shed as many tears over there, but we might show a lot more chest hair. So on that beautiful bombshell, be good to yourselves.
You deserve it, baby.